who was known as the Apostle Paul. And my understanding, and as best I know, is that to be an apostle, there were a couple of aspects. That one, you were one who was, you built churches or you established churches somewhere. And also, you were in the presence of Jesus, that you actually got to see his, you were there, and Paul was at the road of Damascus. So I think that's why they call him apostle. If that's wrong, it sounded good. But understanding that, it's what he came from and what he became. He was a very religious zealot aspect and persecuted a lot of the folks who were in the called the way, which we know is Christianity or discipleship in Jesus Christ. And if you're not a disciple, that's why we gather here, is to follow and find those ways that the ways of Jesus would be our ways. And so that when we gather here, we go out in the world and we relate to each other the way that God desires us to. And so that's why we come together and remind each other and worship and grow. But his life got changed, and God worked in his heart and life in a powerful way. In fact, he was, of all the churches he established and everything he did, probably 60% of the New Testament is dealing with churches and problems and issues and other stuff in there. What we have, that's recorded as a result of Paul. So he knows, he's a great source for us to be able to look at the window of Jesus Christ to find out what God desires for us. So in the second book of Corinthians, it could have been a third letter, they don't know, toward the very end, he has this passage, and you're very familiar with it. So it's in your bulletin as well, but it's 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10. All right, so let's read it. So, and we're going to start with therefore. Okay, remember, therefore means you're about to find out what you're there for, okay? All right, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, this is the one where you ever go to the church of God where the pastor says, look at the person next to you this morning, all right? So this morning when it says, for me becoming conceited, look at the person next to you this morning and say, I'm glad you're here. No. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I thought that'd sneak in. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Okay? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, watch this. Therefore, remember, here's what you're there for. For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Say that last one with me again. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Say it one more time. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And now say it to yourself one time. All right. Glorious boasting is what we're talking about a little here. Glorious boasting, and again, he said not to be conceited, glorious boasting is not as much about where you are, being the podium, but what God brought you from, okay? In other words, it's not as much where what you are now, maybe what you become, but more so it's what he brought you from. So let me just go ahead and get this out early, okay? If you can't be thankful for the job you got, be thankful for the job you ain't got, okay? You got it? Children, if you ain't thankful for the parents you got, thank God for the parents you ain't got, okay? If you married and you ain't thankful for the spouse you got, thank God for the spouse you ain't got. You could be married to me, ladies, okay? If you can't be thankful for the pastor you got, you need to come on down the altar and take care of that right now, and let's get it done. But seriously, that is... It's not where you are, it's what God has brought you from. That is the glorious boasting. For we look not those things that are temporary, but those things that are eternal. So that's what we're looking at here. So I'm not veering off a whole lot on the Sticks and Stones series, but a little bit I want to talk to you about thorns. And I'm going to take a little liberty in this today. These are the persons, if you talk about a thorn in your side or what Paul called a different thing, a thorn in the flesh, it's the same thing as what the thorn is. And we know what a thorn does, and it's not, you know, it's part of a normal growth in some plants. But inside of a person, the thorn is not a good source of whatever. But this is about maybe thorns in the flesh, that's in our side or almost inside of us in some way. And they just don't want to go away, all right? In other words, it's like the bruises that we get from the sticks and stones. You know, it's healed up on the outside, but on the inside, there's still a little bit of what's going on there. And so what we do is we pray that if it's a person, these thorns in our flesh, if there's somebody just always there, we pray. Do you ever pray this, oh, Lord, just take them on to heaven. Just take them right now. You know, just glory be to God, you know. And because what we're saying is, Lord, it would make my life so much easier. And isn't that what we want, oh, Lord? Keep me safe, make my life easy, bless me, you know. And that's what we pray all the time. We talked a few months ago about soul friends. Remember that? We talked about David and Jonathan, about having those are the roses in your life. Those are the beautiful fragrance, all right? The ones we're going to talk about today are the thorns of that beautiful rose because it comes with it, all right? Because that's part of it, all right? So sometimes, which means like every day, all right, our plans sometimes can get altered. We get hit with something out of the blue. And so what we're doing is we're journeying, and all of this is to overcome in our humanity, to overcome all the adversity that which we face. That's why we have Jesus. He was the incarnation. He was the human one. He came and spoke to us where we are in this level, to be able to look up to him, to look unto God, and to be able to be victorious, all of this that seemed to be pushing us down. So no matter what we face here, we overcome all those obstacles in him and all the adversity we have. We've been made more than conquerors in him, what the scripture says. All right. So today, what I want to talk to you about is God speaks to us in those hurts and the harassments and the sufferings alongside those individuals who may be a thorn in our side or the thorns in the flesh of what we have that keep us from being conceited and those aspects so we can boast in what God has brought us from, but also is how we are able to deal with that comes from the outside without doing it in the flesh in the same way. In other words, we love others. We love others the way that Jesus loved us. So the Jesus language we have and the Paul language is basically this. If there's a thorn in your flesh that's always messing with you, whatever like that, and your argument is with them, that's not it, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the person, but it's against the powers and the principalities and rulers in dark places. In other words, if you can name it, a person, that's not what you're wrestling with. What you're wrestling with is all of that other stuff that's pulling. And what Jesus does is he gives us that vision to be able to where we not only do we can go around it. We can kind of get through it, but that's just what everybody else does. What Jesus has done is he gets us to where not only we get around it and we get through all of it, but we get it to where we're triumphed over it, where he triumphs over us as we triumph over all of this spirit and everything that seems to pull us down. Because even if the thorns don't go away, we've got to choose whether or not it has dominion over us. That's where Jesus comes in. That's why it's different than any other philosophy and self-help books in this way. So what I'm going to say to you is if you're here this morning, you need to go ahead and strap yourself in, because this is a message today that God's going to speak to you about why you need that thorn in your flesh rather than you need that thorn removed. Okay. In other words, I'm here today to say I want you to keep your thorn. I want you to keep that thorn in the flesh because God's working a purpose. Now, at this point, if I need to bow my head, close our eyes, so some of you can get up and leave and say, I didn't want to hear this morning. I don't deserve this or whatever. And if you happen to be that thorn in the flesh of that other person, if they start to get up, pull them back down because this is the time where they really need to hear that they need to have dominion over this, and because you may be the person that's causing that. All right? It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means that there's a thorn in the flesh. It's being used by the wrong person in the wrong way. But God's saying, you know, in this, you can boast about this. So I want you to hang on, because if you think you're a little confused right now, I guarantee you by the time we finish this, you'll understand those little things that seem to be pulling on you at some times. The sticks and stones that breaks my bone, those words, they just don't go away. Some of them disappoint you, but some of them make you real angry, all right? So what Paul talks about here is about thorns in the flesh. And listen, there are a lot of theories about this. And mine, as I'm taking a little liberty in what I believe the thorn in the flesh is. I'm not saying it's accurate and it's there. We know, we're about as clear as what that thorn in the flesh was as we know of what Jesus drew in the ground when he stood there before the adulterous woman. Right? So there's a lot of different theories about it. What we don't know that, but what we do know is the way in which Paul had a response to it. That's what we know. Because he said, you know, in this, he said, I asked God three times, seriously, prayer, to remove this persecution. I don't think it was a sickness, because it says, well, whatever, but he said, I asked three times for this to be removed from me, and God's answer was, listen, my grace is sufficient, all right? What we do know is what it says here, go back again, that there was a thorn in his flesh that was from Satan. It wasn't from God. Now what happened, the thorn in the flesh is a little freedom here, okay? As a result of Paul's preaching, as a result of the multitude of revelations, Paul was just powerful in what he could do. And the revelations that he had received, and you go back and you'll read all this stuff, and he starts bragging you about all that he has accomplished. And you think how conceited he is until you get to this point where he's talking about. But lives have been transformed. People were coming to Christ. You know, you get here, you get a pastor, and you come in, and everybody's coming in, and lives are being changed. Marriages are being made whole. Communities are changing and everything, and you think everybody's happy, and it's not. And it says as a result of it, Satan sent a messenger. In other words, Satan was trying to derail all this. And that's what it says. It was sent to Paul and it buffeted him. That's not a word I use normally. Buffeted is basically the same word that's used as waves that come up against the ship or they come on the beach. They don't stop. They just constantly coming in at you in this way. And what was happening with every time Paul would try to do something, these things would come in. These folks or whatever was happening, or this whatever this thorn in the flesh was always, instead of it just keeping going and going right here, it was that one person or that one spirit or something that seemed to pull it down. And what was happening is Paul, I think, was my opinion. I think he was frustrated to the point where he was saying, you know, those who were faint-hearted in committing themselves to Jesus Christ, they were walking away. And so he's basically saying, God, I need you, you know, do this, all right? And so so it was kind of this persecution that was going on, that was going on. And maybe it was internal, maybe an external of the group, all right? So here's the question. If you're going through persecution, and why am I facing all this or whatever? And this question, you aren't redeemed from persecution, as I see it. Remember, because he said, Lord, I pray for him not to be taken out of the world, but to be saved from the evil one. In other words, you're going to have those things happen, but you don't have to have the evil one have that power over you. And you know when it is, because it beats you down, it pulls you apart, it makes you give up, it makes you give in aspects. And so what he said here is, as he told Timothy this, he said, listen, anybody who lives a godly life, you're going to suffer persecution. My words are this, no good deed goes unpunished. You ever heard that? Of course you did. I just said it. But no good deed unpunished. All people who live godly lives are going to suffer persecution. So instead, if you've got it, here's what Paul is saying. So you got this thorny flesh. You got whatever's going on. Something's happening in your life, all right? So listen, What Paul is saying is he glorified this persecution. Remember that last sentence and all these things? He glorified the persecution. He glorified all the reproaches he got, all the distresses. And the reason he did that is so the power of Christ would rest upon him. If he kept wrestling with all of those the other time, there would be no peace. He would find no rest. But he said, when I glorified those things, and I said, God, you can use them in everything of what I'm facing, instead of removing it and just making my life, you're going to be able to use this in a way that God, you're doing stuff that I couldn't even imagine would take place out of it. And so that's what he was able to do. He glorified that, and that the glory would be that Jesus would have dominion over him and command his life. In other words, when everything started to happen, instead of it being beat down and pushed by the world, he would have that victory over Christ. And we're going to show that to you in just a second as it happened. And Paul is saying this, I glory in my infirmities. I am excited. This is great. I'm being persecuted. I've got folks coming against me. And he's speaking in the midst of this continual harassment that's going on. Let me tell you a story. It goes back. There's a race that will be taking place in September in memory of this. But it was a young man named Terry Fox. You might remember him back in that time. He was born in 1958, and he died in 1981. And if you remember the story, he was from Canada. He was a Canadian athlete. He was a humanitarian. And he was an advocate for cancer research. And what he did is he ran all the way across from the east to the west side of the Canadian border to help and increase Canadian research for cancer. One of the coaches that he had with him, and this is his parents that were sitting there with him, and as he was going through this, and you would think this would be great, but he had a lot of criticism. In fact, he had people that would line up and literally spit on him as he came by, because he was saying he was glorifying of what he was doing, you know, and drawing attention to himself, how be ashamed and all this other stuff like that. And he got to where he was just about so frustrated, and his coach told him this. He said, you do this for the folks who believe in you, not the jerks that criticize you. There's a different word he used. You'll have to look that up on the internet. I can't do that today without getting a lot of emails, okay? But you do it for those who believe in you, not those who criticize you. And as he continued to do this, one of the great quotes that he had was this. Remember, with all of the harassments and everything that we face and those thorns and pressure, we pray for God to remove them. I guess that one of the most important things that I've learned is that nothing is ever completely bad, even cancer. All right? It has made me a better person. It has given me courage and a sense of purpose I never had before. But you don't have to do like I did. Wait until you lose a leg or get some awful disease before you take time to find out what kind of stuff you're really made of. You can start today. Anybody can. In the book of Acts, in the 14th chapter, Paul faced persecution and criticism for it, and he was stoned and left for dead. Stoned, they put him, oh, oops. Oh, yeah. Ba-doom, doom. Okay, they had a wall, and it could have been this way. They could have thrown him, but largely it was a wall that back then they backed him against there, and they would literally just drop these huge stones and everything, and they left him for dead, all right? What happened is God raised him up. He got in trouble because of his preaching and what he was doing. God raised him up, and he got up, and he walked 20 miles, and the next day he preached. Can you imagine the look on the people's faces when he showed up there, that they had stoned him and what they were thinking? I mean, because you look at him, he was cut, he was bruised, he was beat up. They saw his humanity. But you know what else they saw? They saw a supernatural strength of God flowing through him. They saw, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, and in all my infirmities, he is made strong in this. How many times did it take for him where they said to him, you can't preach, you know? How many hurdles did he have to get over? How much persecution? How many difficulties did it take for Paul to be able to say, for when I am weak, then I am strong? You see, the thorns in the flesh, whatever we have, I don't believe is something in which Jesus died to redeem us from, such as sickness. He died so we wouldn't have to submit ourselves to that spirit of what comes in. James says this. James said, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You have to continually fight. We pray so quickly, Lord, just make it easy for me, make it easy for me. And some things we just do need some relief. But what he's saying here, we have to continually fight against the devil and all of that stuff, everything that comes at us, all right, that he throws at us. But you have to resist him for him to flee. So whatever happens in that, here's the message, best I can say is what Paul said. We don't know what it was. We don't know what you're going through. But here's what Paul's answer is. Grace is better than removing the thorn. You know what? Grace is also better than justice, than getting somebody. All right? Weakness provides an opportunity to display the divine power that God has for us. Glorious boasting. It's not as much as where God's brought you to, but what God's brought you from. So part of it is glorious boasting. If you can't thank God for what you have, thank God for what you ain't got. You know, part of it is when I look back and I see what he's brought me through, and the places that I've allowed his power to have dominion over me. That's what I would ask. What is the adversity that you're facing? What is it that's going on? Praise team, if you'll come on back up, I'm going to wrap up here. What is it that you're going through? And so what I would say is what Paul gives us the answer of everything that he went through, the same thing that Jesus did, is be a glory boaster, and look for him for a way that his grace can be sufficient for you. That's the answer. Sometimes we don't want to hear it like that, but that's what he's saying. I'm like Paul. I have been so many times strengthened by the thorns of my flesh over the years. Too many folks, I think we look at God and we look at God like a wish list. You know, if all else fails, okay, I'll go to this Heavenly Father who knows best. I wonder how many suicides, I wonder how many from the thorns of the flesh, I wonder how many of the devil's tricks into thinking, to making us think that God really doesn't care or God won't answer. Paul accepted that answer. And this is what he said. He said, I learned in this, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will choose. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, because what I really need is Christ's power to rest on me. Now, I'm not going to make altar calls. I don't do that. I mean, I can manipulate, I guess, with the best of them. But I really feel strongly we don't need to finish this service with just, okay, here and praise team play a song, okay? I think at this moment we need, before we leave, is to be able to take and look and decide what kind of action we're going to take from here. When we faced it and it's all coming in, because if all we did today is come and sing a few songs and hear a message and it kind of made us feel a little bit better, then, you know, we could have gone to the spa and just enjoyed that, okay? But as followers of Jesus Christ, what I would suggest to do, I would guide you to do, is take a journey again to the foot of the cross and grasp the power that he had as he defeated all of those thorns, all of those dominions, all of those powers, and defeated them at that moment of what you're going through. Experienced everything we had of where we were. And now go to the empty tomb and pick up at what he has done, the power, and let the power of Jesus Christ grasp you. So that therefore, that's what I'm here for. I will more gladly boast in my infirmities to speak that the weakness, the constant harassment that just won't go away, that you can glory and know that his grace is greater in what he's doing. That's the message that Paul gave us. And I think that's the message for each of us. I think that's why we come. So that won't have dominion over us. So take just a minute. Let me pray with you and then the praise team will lead us. So Lord, as we take just a moment and we think through. What did it take for Paul as he was sitting there? Three times. You had to hear him when he prayed. And it would have made sense to all of us around if it had been taken away. But there was power, there was transformation. That in that weakness, you were made strong. And so if we really believe that, if we really do, if we believe that you've got a hold on us better than we could ever have on you, then Lord, give us that moment to make a decision that I will gladly boast in my infirmities and that I will know without a doubt whatever I face, whatever my congregation goes through, whatever my family may go through, you have dominion over us. And your grace, always, even more than justice, your grace will be sufficient. And when we leave, may we walk forth every day with that assurance you're there with us.